Mission to unleash power.
Let the whole earth hear us now. We beg, we pray, we demand that this epidemic ends.
Hey, Houston, it is Friday, and thank you for ending out your work week with us here at the Houston Indie Media Show. Tonight, we bring you coverage of a solidarity protest for Palestinian hunger striker Hanan Shalabi, which took place outside the Israeli consulate last Saturday, and also update you on some important celebrations for the left here locally, including the saving of the Chicano mural, as well as a delay and revision of the controversial feeding ordinance. But first, these headlines.
On Monday, the Federal Communications Commission released decisions to implement the Local Community Radio Act. The act, passed by Congress in December of 2010, squashes pending applications for FM translators or repeater stations that rebroadcast distant radio stations and opens the door instead for community radio like KPFT. In the long term, the large corporate, often conservative media stranglehold over the airwaves will decrease. The announcement concludes the first hurdle in implementing the Local Community Radio Act, the passage of which was the result of a decade-long grassroots campaign. The FCC is now on track to accept applications for new low-power FM stations nationwide as early as fall of this year. Community groups gear up to apply for the licenses, which will be available only to locally based nonprofit organizations. Broadcast radio remains one of the most accessible means of communication in the U.S., with 90% of Americans listening at least once a week.
Also in media news, Bay Area District Attorney Bob Lee is embarking on a full frontal assault against independent media in Santa Cruz, including four regular contributors to the independent news website, IndieBay.org, amongst the 11 people charged with multiple felonies and misdemeanors stemming from an occupation of an empty bank building on November 30th, 2011. Bradley Stewart Allen and Alex Duraki are IndieBay photojournalists and IndieBay editors who are reporting on the occupation. No charges nor arrests were made at the time, but warrants were issued over 2 months later on February the 8th, 2012, for Bradley, Alex, and nine other individuals. Bradley and Alex were originally charged with felony vandalism, felony conspiracy, and two counts of misdemeanor trespass. But after a three-day preliminary hearing starting March the 13th, the felony vandalism charge against both was dropped. Alex and Bradley remain out of police custody on their own recognizance. To learn more about the case, listen to and check out IndieBay.org.
On Thursday in Portugal, public services and transportation halted as unions enacted a 24-hour general strike. This is the second general strike in Portugal in 2 months. The metros in Portugal's largest cities have closed, as well as major ports. The strikers took to the streets in response to austerity measures agreed upon by the government in return for a European bailout. The events in Portugal on Thursday preclude similar strikes in both Italy and Spain, among countries facing European austerity. On Wednesday, Italy's largest trade union called for a general strike over labor reforms, taking on Prime Minister Mario Monti and Italy's austerity. Spain's two major unions, the General Workers' Union and the Workers' Commissions, are calling for a general strike next week, on the 29th, in opposition to the Spanish government's push for cutbacks. Cannabis dispensaries have been described as one of the newest sectors of the healthcare industry. Thursday, Los Angeles dispensary workers announced they are unionizing. That's right. The same union that represents grocery store clerks will be representing workers at Los Angeles's medical marijuana dispensaries. Mike Shimpok is spokesperson for United Food and Commercial Workers Local 770. He said the union only represents workers employed by legitimate businesses and that dispensaries are no different. Shimpok says unionization will bring better training, less turnover, and more stability to this newly minted sector of the healthcare industry. There are as many as 900 medical marijuana dispensaries in LA County.
As part of a growing trend with similar ordinances recently passing in Philadelphia and New York City, Democrat Anise Parker with City Council proposed making it a crime for community groups such as Food Not Bombs and a number of religious organizations to prepare food and distribute it in public spaces to the city's homeless. There are approximately 10,000 homeless individuals on the streets of Houston on any given night, with 3,000 falling into the category of chronically homeless and one in four who are under the age of 18. Critics of the ordinance showed up en masse on Tuesday, March 20th, to challenge the proposal as it currently is written. While the war is not over, with a revised version of the ordinance set to come for a vote at the end of the month, the delay in a vote is certainly something to celebrate.
First thing you do when you born, you die. 'Cause on a boat and play Jamaican morn, another little baby child was born in a ghetto. Yeah. In case you never know, my name is Mr. Ringo. Yeah. Me say push, lady, push. Me say push and make a youth man born. Me say no throw him away, no way. Me say no throw him away, no way. So me say push, lady, push. Yeah. Me say push and make a youth man born. But now we go up all the man.
Joining us to report on more Food Not Bombs issues and the ordinance currently on hold by City Council is our own Nick Cooper.
Mayor, as you may not be aware, some council members may not be aware, I was homeless from 92 to 98, and I utilized many, many people that helped me out with many meals over a six-year period. A number of individuals are here today that will speak. I literally would not have survived without so many people that had the unrestricted ability to feed me. And I wanted to come here today because I want this in the minutes. I want Ann Russell to put this in the minutes. Mayor, you've let me down.
My name is Manuel Sanchez, and I'm an outreach coordinator and on staff at Ecclesia Church. And I did have a few moments to look over the press release, and we're still opposed to any type of asking for permission on public property to go ahead and feed. If we feel that we're led by the Spirit to help out individuals who are needy and in need, or really do just want to extend our love and our hand of friendship, that we should actually asking for permission. I appreciate everything that you guys have done to go ahead and address some of the issues, but still asking for permission on public property to go ahead and feed still isn't, it doesn't really stand up to what we stand for.
I'm also speaking on behalf of the proposed amendment to Chapter 20. Let's protect these uncoordinated and volunteer staff feeding of the hungry. I'm so very proud of my 20-year-old daughter who's been involved with this for 2 years. I just stepped up to the plate based on her respect and her validation of these people. Every day we make choices to take or give, to hate or love, to dishonor, to ignore, or to look away. She and her friends choose to validate and respect. I know there are issues. If trash is an issue, we've got ordinance for that. Let's take care of the trash. If we're on private property, let's take care of that. But let's address the need of feeding the hungry and doing what we do best. Let Houston be the leader in this. I know there's lots of states that are going through this. Let's set an example for this charitable service. Thank you.
I think that this is a violation of religious expression, freedom of assembly, equal protection under the law, and I'm not an attorney, but I think as an American citizen, as a Houstonian who loves all of mankind, that this definitely dehumanizes people, and we need to be able to feed hungry people when we see them, whether they're 5, 6, 1, 2, or 100. If we have the means, we're called to do that. If we see our brother and sister in need, and we have material possessions, and we don't help them, how can the love of God reside in our hearts?
Mayor Parker, City Council, thank you for allowing me to speak here. I just wanted to join the chorus of voices you see here today objecting to this proposed amendment, imposing any sort of limitations on sharing food with people. Even with the five-person limit on there, I still think it's too broad, and it could be construed to cover perfectly acceptable activities like picnics and whatnot. And just even at a more basic level, I think it's unjust to tell anybody that they're not allowed to share food with people.
I think that we have enough useless laws on the books. If there are trespassing laws already protecting private property owners, is it really an issue to have people come and feed homeless people on your property? And half the people that I represent are not bombs. I've been working with them for the past 6 years. We feed on average 75 to 100 people 4 times a week, and that's people who could go to Star of Hope, but they don't. They come to Food Not Bombs, and we've never had an issue with people saying leave, and we refuse to leave. I think that this law is just making it more difficult to feed people when they're hungry.
I'm a retired public school teacher. I'm currently full-time employed working with youth still, and I volunteer at least 3 nights a week, sometimes 4 nights a week at Food Not Bombs. And I also work with a group of young people from my church, a Mennonite, and we prepare food. That's one of our projects. That's a way that I think we can teach kids about compassion and caring for others. And they see people on the street corners begging and wanting something to eat. And this is a positive, productive way that they can help. And if I don't know how to even explain to them that they've got to take a class, or we have to go to a special kitchen that's been inspected. What's wrong with our little kitchen at church? What's wrong with my facility at home? And I feel that it's my right as an American and as a Christian to share what I have. And I'd like to continue doing that without having the permission of the government.
Thank you.
Tell me what your sign is and why you're out here this morning.
Thanks again to our own Nick Cooper for bringing the voices of our community, speaking to Mayor Anise Parker and City Hall regarding the ordinance. For more information, folks can go to HoustonKeepSharingFree.com and also refer back to conversations from the last 2 weeks from our Houston Indie Media on KPFT.org. Go to the archives and click on the last week's shows.
Israel has arrested and detained Palestinians throughout its history in an attempt to break their will and repress their liberation movement. In a recent turn of events, a growing number of Palestinians are resorting to engaging in hunger strikes as a way of raising global awareness about their plight at the hands of their oppressors. Among them is Hannah Shalabi. Hannah is being held by Israel without charge or trial under administrative detention. This past Saturday, as she entered day 30 of her hunger strike, activists across the country and globe gathered to show solidarity and demand her release. In Houston, a silent protest took place outside the Israeli consulate.
Can you tell me what your sign is and why you're out here this morning?
Her name is Hannah Shalabi. She's a Palestinian. And she was picked up by the Israeli Defense Forces, and they call it administrative detentions. And they picked them up, even if they suspect that they're doing something. And I think she was a peace activist. And they suspected her, and so they have her detained now. She's in prison, and they haven't yet decided how long she's going to serve. It says 6 months, and now it may be 4 months. And since she is there, and she feels like it's unjust, so she's on a hunger strike for 29 days now. So we're out in solidarity with her. And I think this is going on throughout the nation. So we're here in Houston to honor her.
Now, Hanan Shalabi is not the first Palestinian in recent weeks or months to engage in hunger strike.
Of course, and that's a growing concern right now with the political prisoners, Palestinian political prisoners. There are many others on the hunger strike. Of course, some cases they get international attention, and with Ms. Hannah Shalabi is one of those cases. But there are many more people right now. There are hunger strike because of the administrative detention, which without no reason they can pick you up and put you in jail for a long time without any due process. And it's happening in the United States, unfortunately. With the NDAA, we have the similar law right now that they can arrest you in the street at your home and take you, and nobody can get in touch with you, or they don't release any information about your whereabouts.
What do you think about the effectiveness of hunger striking?
Well, as a matter of fact, while I was driving over here with my wife, Debbie, she is involved in this demonstration too. I told her this is the last way of resistance for any political prisoners.
And this is a silent protest. Can you talk about why?
Yeah, why am I talking?
No, but there's no amplified sound. There's nothing.
Yeah, I think we just felt that was the most appropriate thing today, not to make a lot of noise, and but to have a presence here. You don't always have to be saying things. You can, if you've got signs and you've got banners that indicate why you're concerned, that's, I think, enough.
What's your name and what's your name?
My name is Zubair.
And what are you out here today?
I'm supporting this young lady, Hannah Shalabi, who is on a hunger strike in a cold, dark Israeli cell. And I thought the least I can do, she's the same age as my niece and my daughters, is to at least show up and tell her, little girl, don't despair. People around the world with heart and compassion are with you. Hold on, kid. There's not long to go. You'll be free.
And can you tell me, you mentioned she's the same age. How old is Hannah Shalabi?
She's in her 20s, I think. Or couldn't be more than 30, which gives a range of all my nieces.
And what do you think about the tactic of hunger striking?
Well, I'm from India. So it's something that I'm familiar with. Gandhi and others had begun before. It is, it works. So when you have good governments with some compassion, like it might work with Britain in the case of Gandhi, people who played cricket. But it may not work with the heartless people like Israelis, whose cruelty is the norm, people without conscience and love of man. It may not work with the Israeli government. I don't mean the Jews. I mean the government of Israel.
And Hannah's not the first Palestinian to hunger strike.
No. She is definitely not the first to hunger strike. It has been tried before. Hardly ever, I'm sad to say, with success. But all routes should be tried. I mean, people say Palestine should do this or should do that. Believe me, everything has been tried. Violence is not the only route. They've been trying non-violence forever, quite often. They were mowed over, shot, killed, tortured. So this thing will go on until, I don't know, I have no hope from America, not a bit. And maybe eventually Israel will implode, who knows, because how long can evil last? How long can oppression last?
And what were the specifics surrounding her when she was picked up by the Israeli Defense Forces? What was she doing?
I really don't know. Honestly, I don't know, but I'm sure it's no different than any other case. Maybe her house was demolished. Maybe her brother was being tortured. Maybe her orchards were being uprooted. Or maybe it was some angst that she was expressing. That's really immaterial. What is happening is that it's oppression. It's occupation. It's against human dignity. And she dares to defy America and Israel. So that puts her as a bad guy, quote unquote.
Free Palestine. Free Palestine. Free Palestine. Free Palestine. Oh, yeah.
All right. Now for some very important announcements. We are pleased to announce that as of yesterday, the University of Houston has finally agreed to preserve and keep its current location the Chicano mural, also entitled La Marcha de la Humanidad. Architects working with the university and input from the students who painted the mural close to 40 years ago and students will work to highlight the mural in the Cougar Den in its current location. The mural will become a vital part of the new university bookstore. The mural also will be given a plaque explaining its purpose, history, and meaning. Students and community supporters have vowed, though, to continue to monitor the mural's integrity as the university center remodel moves forward.
This Monday, March 26th, all Houstonians are invited to come and stand in solidarity with Trayvon Martin. We ask and urge everyone here in Houston to stand with millions of other Americans in hundreds of cities all across this country. The event will take place at the Shape Center, at the Shape Community Center at 5 p.m. The address is 3903 Almeda at Live Oak. Wear your hoodie in support of Trayvon. On March 31st at 11 a.m. will be the No War, No Peace demonstration. This is for veteran service members and anti-war peace supporters. At this event, you can listen to stories of veterans. For more information, look up No War, that's spelled K-N-O-W, No Peace, spelled N-O, on Facebook.
Women Healing and Empowering Women invite everyone this weekend to join them March 24th and 25th as they venture into this year's town hall meeting addressing relationships and marriage. Wu invites you to be a part of an explosive event and to bring your families, friends, and your creative thoughts, your solutions, and most importantly, your voice. Wu's fifth annual town hall meeting will take place from 2 to 8 on Saturday and from 3 to 7 on Sunday on the campus of the Texas Southern University in the Barbara Jordan Mickey Leland School of Public Affairs. Again, this is this Saturday, March 24th, and Sunday, March 25th, from 2 to 8 on Saturday and 3 to 7 on Sunday. For folks that have never attended a Women Healing and Empowering Women Town Hall event or really any event, this is a wonderful time to be able to have, you know, very candid conversations about very important topics. This Saturday, the first day of the town hall meeting, they'll be focusing on relationships, which is always titled the Where is the Love? And Sunday, the town hall meeting is focusing on honoring Black Marriage Day. There's always very good, strong, deep emotional content, great conversations, and it's really a time for the community to be able to share, you know, intergenerational experiences on relationships, on marriage, and there's no event that Women Healing and Empowering Women does not put on that really, you know, continues a conversation long before the event is over. It's hard to get people out of there because everything is so strong and, you know, the emotions are so heightened. Really, really stress for folks to go out to Texas Southern University. Again, that's going to be at the Barbara Jordan Mickey Leland School of Public Affairs, which is located at 3100 Cleburne Street. And for more information, folks can go to woo-now.org, which is WHEW-NOW.org. And also you can look for them on Women Healing Empowering Women on Facebook. And, you know, Courtney's been participating and involved with Women Healing and Empowering Women. Maybe she'd like to share a little bit about the town hall meetings.
Well, if you've never participated, I stress it's a really wonderful event. Be prepared for a lot of, you know, sort of self-work, you know, that some of that work that we constantly put off, that we put on the back burner, that's some of the issues around race and poverty, incarceration, women's issues. Those are the types of topics that come out at the Wu Town Hall meeting. So please, if you've never attended, take this time to check it out. I know in the past they've done different, they've had different things, so it's always different. So I really encourage you to attend. And again, Women Healing and Empowering Women Town Hall Meeting. Angela, the rest?
Yes, that's again this Saturday and Sunday. On Saturday from 2 to 8, Sunday from 3 to 7. And again, this event does is in lieu of Women's International Day and celebrating Women's History Month and Barbara Jordan's 75th birthday celebration. There are suggested donations, but no one is ever turned away. And they're always looking for in-kind donations and sponsors for scholarships from those who can compensate for others. Again, Women Healing and Empowering Women, and for folks that are not aware, they are a nonprofit organization whose mission is to address interconnectedness challenges that women face, such as former incarceration, homelessness, and domestic violence by starting local and going global.
Yeah, you know, before we leave, I just kind of want to ask folks and to try and make some of these events. You know, it seems like right now there's a lot happening in this country. And there are, I think, now more so than ever in years, we as a people really need to stand up and take a strong position and push back against some of these either legislative attacks, physical attacks that we're seeing every day all too often.
Attacks on women.
Yeah, rights. You know, exactly. And that, you know, folks, you know, need to kind of keep on top of this stuff. And that's the only thing that's going to push back against it. And I just kind of want to go back to this event this Monday on the 26th at the Shape Community Center.
Absolutely.
You know, people have been asking us what's going on and what's going to happen around this case here in Houston. Well, this is a real good opportunity for Houstonians in the Latino community, white community, and Afro-American community, Asian community, every community has a stake in what happens to this case. You know, we're witnessing a current day gunning down by a vigilante of a young Afro-American male, you know, doing nothing wrong. So, you know, we're really encouraging everyone to come out to the Shape Community Center this Monday and show your solidarity and support for this young man and his family, and to use an old cliche, and we hope that his death is not in vain, that maybe out of this will come a better understanding of each other.
Absolutely. I think it's really important for Houston to organize around this and really address the issues that we know we have regarding racial profiling and police brutality in our communities here, and really look at the local and the national issues of, you know, the law enforcement disparities and arrests and convictions across racial lines. And I think, you know, unfortunate tragedies like this just continue to highlight the problem that we have in this country.
Exactly. And Angela, you and I know, and we've talked to a lot of our brothers in the Latino community, and how often are young guys, you know,
profile
because maybe they have too many tattoos, they've got a white t-shirt on, baggy pants and short hair, and maybe riding in a low rider. And it could have, you know, Trayvon Martin could have been anyone.
It could have been anyone.
Could have been any young male in this country that is not white.
But finding our voice and speaking on it, whether it's about this event, whether it's about the Chicano mural, which now, you know, we get great, you know, news about, this is what, you know, this.
And all this will be on HIMC Facebook.
It will be. Well, we could go on and on with these topics, but that unfortunately does it for another week here at the Indie Media Show. Special thanks to John and Rachel for producing the content we heard this evening on tonight's broadcast. A shout out to Courtney on the board op for the revolution, without whom there would be no broadcast. Tune in next week where we'll bring you a very
and
special.
And welcome back, V. We haven't had
V in the studio
for a while. And congratulations to collective member Angela.
Congratulations, Angela.
On her upcoming marriage.
So much for keeping it under wraps.
That's the secret, y'all.
Well, tune in next week, folks, where we'll bring you a very special interview with Professor Sandra Soto. But until then, on behalf of the Houston Indie Media Collective, I'm Angela, signing off, reminding everyone out there, don't hate the media, be the media. Peace.
Come on. I don't hate the media. Meet Gloria Rolando, one of Cuba's leading documentary filmmakers, when she comes to town for a special appearance at the Museum of Fine Arts Houston. On Sunday, April 1st at 5 p.m., Ms. Rolando presents her documentary, 1912, Breaking the Silence, the first part of a trilogy addressing Cuba's Afro-Cuban heritage. For details, visit www.mfah.org/films.